Welcome to In the Know with Dr. O. We're recording in the Esports Innovation Lab within the University of Cincinnati 1819 Innovation Hub. I'm David O., Chief Medical Officer of Hoxworth Blood Center. Hoxworth is the blood and blood services provider for all hospitals in Cincinnati and in the surrounding tri-state area. Today, we're pleased to have Lori Pearson with us. Lori is the fixed site manager at our central or campus location, located in the Hoxworth building. Lori has been with Hoxworth for over 15 years. In that time, she's filled many different roles. So we want to hear about you and your origin story and just learn more about you and what you do at Hoxworth. So let's start at the beginning. Where were you born and raised?
So I have been a resident of Ohio my entire life, but I grew up in Reading, and I went to the Great Oaks School of Nursing for my last 2 years of high school.
Okay, so you all the way through grade school, high school?
So I lived in Hamilton for like the early part of my years. So up until about fifth grade is when I moved to Reading.
Okay.
And then I was in Reading since then.
Awesome. So you're going to high school and then you're trying to decide where to go to additional school and what?
Yes. So Reading has a great partnership with the Great Oaks campuses. So they are very good about giving you all options that you could go to further your career. And at the time, it was a brand new program that was offered the first year for it, actually, that I went through. And it was secondary practical nursing, so it was geared towards getting your LPN license directly out of high school.
So you knew from high school that you wanted to get an LPN?
No. I wanted to go to school to be a mechanic.
Okay.
Totally different.
Same thing.
Totally different direction. But my mom actually told me that she would not allow me to go for a mechanic.
Oh,
so
no.
She would pay for it as long as I went through nursing school.
Oh, no.
Which was great. I love that I did that. It gave me a great opportunity from the get-go. Not saying I'm not still interested in some of the mechanic stuff, but I really enjoy the path that I took.
So was your mom a nurse then?
She is a licensed nurse as well. She actually does not do nursing, though.
Interesting.
But she had been a nurse's aide a lot during my high school years, and she worked a lot of third shift, but she had been kind of in that environment before.
So because she was exposed to it and she did a little bit, she really thought that, hey, this is a good career path for you as you kind of went along.
Yes. So right. She thought that it was a great opportunity. It would be something that would last for a lifetime. You know, nursing and healthcare in general never goes away.
Yeah.
So it was a great place to get started into a career.
So how many years of schooling is that for your program?
Mine was a 2 year. It was my junior and senior year of high school. So I went during high school. I did all of the credits that I needed to be able to graduate from high school while simultaneously doing all of my nursing.
Oh, wow.
So we did all of our clinical rotations were during school hours. We did rotations for all kinds of different fields. Went into rehab facilities. We went into long-term care facilities. We did rotations through surgical centers to get all of the experience we needed to be able to graduate and then take our state boards.
I took my state boards
right after I graduated high school.
So you're like 18.
I was 18. Yes.
You got your LPN?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
It was.
Wow. And so then you didn't have to go to a formal school after that?
No.
Then.
No. So the degree that I have is a vocational degree.
Okay.
It's not like an associate's or a bachelor's.
Okay.
But it is a vocational degree that gives you all of the credits that you needed to be able to take the state boards.
Wow. So you took your state boards and then you decided to find a career as an LPN. What were those steps?
So I had a little bit of assistance through that. For most high schools, they require you to do a senior project at the end of the year.
Okay.
And for the Great Oaks, it's geared towards your career path. So
gotcha.
You have to do some sort of a project with the career path that you've chosen. So I actually did mine surrounding phlebotomy and the history of phlebotomy.
Really?
I did.
How did you select that?
I had a little extra knowledge of blood donations in general when I was young. My dad used products when I was in early high school years that he had stomach ulcers that were bleeding. He ended up having to have 17 units of blood transfused for one of his cases that he had. So I knew about blood donation. I'd seen it at the schools, being able to sign up to do the blood donations. So it kind of just stuck with me. It was something that was just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And so I did my project on the phlebotomy, and I actually came to Hawksworth to do kind of just an overview, meet with a few of the staff members, kind of shadow and see what it was like. And I had talked to an individual who was working here at the time, was raving about it, offered to, you know, meet up with me after I had graduated if I had chosen to.
Wow.
So I kind of just had a foot in the door early on. And then once I got my nursing license and I applied and came here.
That's really a great story. So straight out of high school then. So what was your first position then with Hawksworth?
At the time it was a DCS, which is what we call a DCT1 now.
Okay.
So a donor care specialist.
Gotcha.
You are just a basic employee on the floor. So you're screening donors, you're drawing donors, taking care of the individuals every day, but not at a higher level. So don't know any of the platforms that we're doing, the double red cells or the platelets, and not in any kind of a management capacity. So just a regular DCS employee.
So there's a lot that the DCSs do, right?
Or
current entry employees. And I think it's actually something that not everybody can do, right?
Correct.
So we ask a lot of them, and we have to ask them to do, I don't know if they do registration. Do they do registration?
They do learn the registration, yes.
But there's definitely the mini physical.
Yes.
That we perform the review of the questionnaire answers, which can get complicated.
Yes.
Because if it's always nice when somebody just answers, you know, no to everything except for, you know, the first question and the fifth question.
Yes.
So, but if there's any yeses, then we have to ask additional questions, and you have to kind of use your noggin a little bit to figure out what's going on.
If you don't know, I mean, that's the reason you have your managers right there to assist you in any capability. But some of it does get very complicated and complex. And, you know, there are times even now that I still have to go and ask somebody else additional information to follow up.
Let me clarify, just because you're an LPN does not mean that all of our entry level phlebotomists and donor care specialists are LPNs, right? Many,
correct,
many, many of them are not.
Yes.
And they actually get trained before they do all this stuff by us to be able to do blood pressure, to be able to do finger sticks, to be able to do the phlebotomy.
Correct. So, yes. Everything is in-house training.
You were fortunate. So you got to see some of that before you hit Hawksworth doors.
Yes.
But you have helped, you know, mentor many, many donor care specialists that have come along. Tell us a little bit about what you see as that journey for somebody who maybe they were working in fast food, or maybe they were working in a store, you know, selling clothes or something. And then they decide, you know, this donation blood collection gig sounds interesting, because it is interesting. It's actually a great job.
It is.
And we'll talk more about that later. But they come and they interview, and then it's like, oh, you're going to be doing all these things. And I think a lot of people would be nervous. And if that's not what they want to do, they should not do it. And
correct.
So
yes,
they have to decide. So what do you think about folks who are coming in, like, who have had no medical background at all?
Honestly, it's been great. I mean, we have some amazing individuals that work here. Some of them were, you know, kind of interested before they started. Some of them really didn't know what they had signed up for. But they are just phenomenal. You know, the personalities that come from them, they really engage those donors. They love to hear the stories from donors. It can be a little bit challenging, but it's a learning experience. So a lot of these individuals that are coming in that don't have background coming in the door, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of moments where they may not quite understand what they're looking at or the information that's given to them, but with a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of information given to them, kind of a teaching moment, the more that they learn and they just grow.
Yeah.
You know, I try to tell most of the individuals that if they have questions, don't hesitate to come and find us. You know, we're more than willing to try to get you to understand what you're looking at or find the answer and teach you all of the information that you need. We have a lot of resources, a lot of individuals that have been here for a long time that are also resources that they can utilize to learn and to grow and to get better.
Yeah, I think that, so for folks who are interested, you know, we don't set you out on day one on the floor, correct, you know, with donors to try to draw blood from them. We actually have a pretty in-depth training program. I'll give a shout out to John Lay. He's just fabulous. He's been with us for a number of years, and he came from having no kind of medical background at all, very customer service oriented guy. But we go through, we have dummies with fake arms with in terms of preparing you to know all the different things. And we've changed our training program a bit. I think we've really improved it over this past year to make sure that people are kind of working with the same group of folks and they get that mentorship.
Yes.
And then they feel more as they actually start doing patient or donor care, they have people they have worked with and they've trusted an environment for help, which I think is much more supportive than it used to be for
us. It's much more supportive and it builds the confidence they need. Most of the issues that I've ever seen with people coming in the door that don't really have much experience is just the confidence, knowing that what they are doing, they can do it. They just kind of have to mentally get themselves to that point. You know, unfortunately, things do happen. Yeah. It doesn't always go perfect 100% of the time, as right, much as we wish that it would. And most people are just afraid of hurting somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And getting over that mental barrier, yeah, can be a little bit challenging. But once you get there, the confidence just,
yeah,
it explodes. Yeah. And it's awesome.
Yeah, I think once people kind of master the skills, it's really a cool thing, right? To be able to go, yeah, and talk to somebody and then, you know, be able to draw blood from them and they thank you afterwards. You know,
yes,
it's just an awesome thing. So for folks who are dealing with donors like at that level, I think it's something that we really want for those folks to want to do that, right?
Yes.
So if you are wanting to sit in a corner and not talk to anybody and just kind of work on, you know, on your computer, then this is not probably the type of job that you should be looking at. But it really takes an engaging personality who wants to talk to our donors, to learn from our donors, to really share knowledge with them. And so then it's beneficial for both the donor and our employees. So.
Absolutely. Great. Yes.
Lots of different settings for our employees who are kind of working as donor care specialists. There are fixed sites. So we have 7 different areas. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I think 7, right? Is it 6 now?
I think it's still 7.
Okay, yeah.
I think we're at 7.
7. And that's kind of a more routine, I think,
yeah,
a kind of a day in a setting. So you kind of know all the folks who are working in the building and you kind of know, you know, how things run and it's very, you know, comfortable, I think.
Yes.
And then about half of our folks who are donor care specialists are going to be working on mobiles. And that's really cool. If you are like, oh, I want something different every day. Oh, we're going to go to school today. Oh, we're going to go to church tomorrow. Oh, we're going to go to another business the next day. And to kind of always have a little bit of non-routine, I would say.
Yes.
And meeting just new people every single time that comes through.
Oh, yes. And sometimes you're meeting the same people. So some, yeah, drives end up becoming very routine. We go frequently or we go at a fixed rate, I guess. So we'll go once or twice a year. We'll go, you know, I think you see we go four times a year, so once a quarter. And some of those donors become very regular donors that you recognize every single time. So even you're meeting all of these new people, but you're also seeing some of the older donors, the more consistent donors that you've seen over the years, and you build those relationships.
So you spent time in both the mobile setting and the donor center setting?
Yes, okay. I have done
Tell us both. A little about your experience.
I did mobiles for a few years. It's been a few years since I've been on them, but they were fun. I love the environment. They're very fast-paced. I did the buses and the inside mobiles where we go set up the equipment inside the buildings.
Yeah, so two different types of mobile drives, right?
So there's two different types, yep.
Sometimes we'll bring that bus and just everybody kind of piles in and uses that. And sometimes we set up in a room. Why do we do one versus the other?
Sometimes it's to accommodate just the bigger drives, the larger drives. Like you see, we do drives that we're seeing hundreds of donors coming in at the same time. So we can't necessarily do that on a bus. Yeah. There's a maximum limit that we can get on there in a certain period of time. So we usually will take those for the bigger drives, or if we know that a church is trying to get platelet donors signed up, those platelet machines don't fit in the buses. Yes. So we can take a bigger set of equipment, take it inside the building, set that up so that way we can accommodate for platelet collections. But there's many different reasons why one site might choose a bus or one site might choose an inside mobile. The buses are very convenient because we can just park it in the parking lot and the donors can come out to us. The companies or the organizations don't need a set space for us to invade. We can just set it up in their parking lot and have their donors come on out and see us.
Yeah, I always like the mobile setups, but it does require a lot more preparation. So the person who's coordinating the drive on our side really needs to have specs for that room and, you know, make sure that there's water available and restrooms that are nearby and a place to set up for the canteen and everything. And so it takes a little bit more planning.
It does.
I think sometimes it's a nicer feel and you can spread out a little bit more than on our little buses.
It can be, yes. The buses are a little tight when you're in them, but they're fun too.
So, okay. So you spent a few years in the mobiles.
Yes.
And then how did you decide to go to the fixed site?
I had kids.
Oh! So,
needing a little bit more consistency. So you know kind of what hours of operation are. You know what days are operational. Just kind of having a little bit more consistency so that I could be at home with my kids when I need to be, or being able to plan around that. Mobiles can be very inconsistent as far as the hours and the days go. Some days are longer days, some days are shorter days. So it wasn't quite as easy to maneuver around, but it was good.
I remember, so I was not very involved in the scheduling stuff at all, but yeah, I remember sometimes the drive would end or start really early in the morning, and then the next day it would go late, and then you'd have to start early in the morning again, and that caused a lot of difficulty in terms of picking up kids and all that other stuff.
It can definitely cause some difficulty.
I think it's gotten
better. But it's getting better.
Yeah.
And trial and error. We have to just keep trialing and erroring just to figure out what works best for the organization, what works best for the employees. And it's definitely gotten a lot better over the years.
And so were you always at Central then, or did you have a different fix?
No, I worked in our Tri-County location for a couple of years. So I was out there, I think, for about 3 years.
Okay.
And then
Was Teresa out there at that time?
No, it's Donna.
Oh, Donna.
Donna's
okay.
been out there. And then I went to our Blue Ash location for a year or two, and then I came to Central. I've been at Central for, I think, about 3 years now.
Oh, great. Oh, so not as long as I remember. That's great.
Yeah, and it kind of all blends together, so I could be a little bit wrong on how long it's been.
That's fabulous. So, you know, for me, I have to admit that I didn't come down and see the donors until probably more 3 years ago, I would say, about the time that you were there. And it's something I really wish I'd have done, you know, earlier. It makes a big difference, I think, for me. And it's helped me to, like, really better connect kind of with our mission and kind of what we're doing. And I need to do it more often. But yes. At least it's convenient. At least we have Central right here. And so we can just pop down and say hi to the donors and thank the staff.
And the donors absolutely love it. Yeah. So I have seen a tremendous impact just from being on the floor at Central that when you come downstairs and you just sit and talk with these donors, they just love the interaction. And they love hearing from individuals that aren't just individuals they see all the time. So to know that there's somebody else in the blood center that they can connect with and they can talk with and they can, you know, share their ideas or their experiences, it gives them so much joy. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was funny. You know, I always would ask, you know, hey, you know, do you have any questions about what happens with the blood afterwards? And 90% of the times, no, it's okay. You know, and they just kind of trust us to send it to where it's needed. And so that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not to be able to do that. And then I always feel like, you know, over the next year or two, what I really want to focus on, Mike Wilson is now our new division director over donor services. And he is really focused on this and with me is really the donor experience or the donor journey is what we're going to start using in terms of our lingo. And to really think about the donor experience every step of the way as we go forward. And so I'm really excited because I think that we can elevate our customer experience.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot.
Yes.
And so I think that I'm excited. We're going to do some great things as we go forward. Okay. So you were donor services collection. I'm getting the terms mixed up.
Donor care specialist.
Yes. And then you changed, right? You got promoted.
I did. And so the terms are no longer there. We used to have a position that was called an ITL. It was an intermittent team lead. So it's similar to the assistant field manager role now, but it was just as needed. So there was not a consistent title or a consistent job description. It was just kind of, if need be, you can be in charge of a mobile or an operation. So I did the ITL role for a few years. And I was able to help review paperwork for donors back when we still had papers to review for accuracy, make sure that we were not collecting blood from somebody that shouldn't have been collected, making sure that the blood is safe to use, and then helping to set up operations, maintain operations, monitor, and just make sure that everything was going the way that it needed to go, and be a resource for questions and helping to pick up sticks if need be, or if somebody was having any type of an issue, they had somebody to go to. So I was in that role for a while. That was before they came out with the assistant manager role. And then I did go to the assistant field manager role in 2014.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you. And so I did that, and that was when I was still on the mobile operations. So I was still on the buses at the time. And again, same kind of concept, but a little bit more consistent. So instead of just being when needed, it was all the time. You are the assistant manager. You can be in charge at any moment. You can help assist with anything that is necessary and just be that next step up resource.
I guess we probably skipped a couple of things. So when you were initially a donor care specialist, you start with whole blood.
Yes.
And then you actually can move up, right? And you get trained on our other platforms.
Correct. Yes. And I kind of did it backwards. Oh. When I started here, based off of, you know, whatever criteria the managers decided at the time, stick rates, attendance, reliability, they decided that I would be a good candidate to learn our platelet platform.
Okay.
So I learned our platelet platform first, kind of got comfortable with it, learned the ins and the outs of the machine and how to run the procedure. And that was within like the first 6 months of being at Hawksworth. Okay, so about great. 6 months in, we kind of look at training to one platform or another. And so I trained to the platelet platform first. And then after I learned that platform, then I got trained to our automated red cell platforms.
And usually it's the other way around, right?
It's usually the other way around. Yeah, And then back then, we also had two different types of double red cell machines that we used. So you had to learn both of those
technologies. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And then now we just have the one. So typically about 6 months in, we start training for the double red cell platform. And then once they get comfortable with that, and if they choose to get interested in the platelet platform, then we would train them to that. Currently, double red cells is kind of expected as the next step up. Platelets are not necessarily that way. They're a little bit harder to run. They require a little bit more observations and just different things that you have to really kind of pay attention to. And not everybody's interested in doing that platform. Yeah. So
it's interesting. It's like our donors, right?
Yes.
So we start on whole blood. We start our donors out on whole blood too. And then if we go to double reds, right? And so we do double reds so that donors who are really type O is what we focus in on. If a donor comes in once a year, we want to make it a good one.
Yes.
So if we know that they're type O, which we really won't know until the second time that they come in, then we'll ask them, hey, why don't you come and do a double red? Oftentimes, not everybody qualifies to do it. You have to be a certain height and weight. Oftentimes, it's men who are kind of the ideal candidates. It takes about the same amount of time, maybe a little bit longer. But we were able to get 2 units of red cells. We call it double reds, right?
Yeah.
Instead of the amount you would get from the whole blood, the donors are deferred for twice as long. So instead of being able to come back at 8 weeks, 16 weeks is as early as you come back. But most of our donors don't come in that frequently. And so if we have a donor who comes in once or twice a year and we're able to get double reds from them, like we can have twice as much of the red cells. It actually adds up. It's about 15% of the red cells that we collect are actually double reds. And it allows us to collect at a proportion of O's that's greater than in the general public, because we really want O's because they're universal, right? To be able to supply that to the hospitals because they use more O's than, you know, just a random distribution of the O's in the population because they are so helpful and to have in the emergency room or for, you know, emergencies. So that's an important platform for us.
It is.
And then those donors who are not type O, we would push them to the platelets if they're interested in coming in more frequently. And our platelet donors can come in every 2 weeks.
Yes.
So they could see us every 24 times a year if they wanted
yes.
to. And some of our donors do. It's
yes,
great.
Yes, they do.
They like run the place, right? So it's every second Friday, it'll be the same guy who comes in,
it
right?
It is. It's clockwork. Can count on those donors.
Yeah. And that's great. That's a little bit longer, you know, of a collection, about 2 hours, 1.5 to 2 hours. But those donors are used to it. And they actually, it gives them time to watch a full movie mm-hmm. and to kind of, if they want to talk to all the staff who are kind of regulars for them as well. And
yes.
and so it's a different type of relationship with those platelet donors.
It is. It is.
Good. So, okay, you went AFM and now you're full FM. Do we get to that
yes.
part of the story?
Not quite.
Okay, let's go there. Let's go there. So what happened?
So after I came to Central, I was kind of the interim field manager in between somebody else leaving from the center to go out onto the mobiles. I came in to assist running the operations as an interim field manager. Shortly after coming to Central, the position opened up for the field manager position, and I applied for that, and I have been that ever since.
So let's give a shout out to all the field managers. FMs that we
yes.
have here. So make sure I don't forget anybody. So there's Jeff down in Kentucky, right?
At yes.
Fort Mitchell. We got Donna Wood, and she actually handles 2 different
yes, she
donor
does.
Centers, West and
Tri-County.
Tri-County, thank you. And then I always get confused with Teresa and
yes.
Drake. So her centers are, she has 2 centers as well.
Teresa
right?
only has one,
oh,
and
okay.
she is at the Anderson location.
Okay. I think she had 2. That's crazy.
I think she used to be
yeah.
over another one.
Yeah.
But she's just Anderson now.
Okay. Gotcha. And then North, right?
Yep.
And that is, oh gosh, she works at Central.
Joan. That's Joan.
Yes. She's awesome.
Yes.
And so she's still up at North as well.
She is up at North. Yep.
Yeah. I need to go visit North again.
A little little bit of a drive.
Okay, am I forgetting anybody?
And then Blue Ash. We have Sarah.
Sarah, yes.
And then we have our mobile operations field managers.
Yes, so
we
there are a ton of field managers and mobiles,
we
right?
only have, I think it's four FMs. Okay. We do have a lot of AFMs, though, so a lot of assistant managers. So the four FMs for the mobiles are Kevin, Lisa, Kim, and
Kim, who used to be at
Hillary.
Blue Ash.
Yes. Yes. And then Hillary.
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. So, thank you.
You are welcome.
That's hard to keep track of everybody, but yeah, it's
try
such
adding
a,
all the AFMs.
Yes, I know. It's such a great crew, though, that we have. And I know that, and you're at Central, of course.
Yes.
And so it's the anchor of FMs and their AFMs who really are responsible for keeping the boat together and keeping everything flowing well as we go through.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's great. So you have been FM now at Central for a while, and now you've been helping out with scheduling a little bit too. You kind of fill in wherever there's kind of need, right?
Yes, yes. So I've been doing scheduling to help assist in that area since, I would say, early June of last year. Okay. And so if the staffing coordinator is unavailable for any reason or on vacation, then I can step in and fill that role while she's away. And I've also been assisting her on Mondays and Tuesdays when Central is not open to help her out, trying to make sure that the schedules are created for all of the staff and just any assistance that she needs.
Yeah, there's so many logistical things that need to be worked out. And I think that we really appreciate your helping. You know, I know that there was a real need for somebody to kind of step up and do that. So thank you very much.
Happy to help.
And then we always talk about the future as we kind of go through. And I think that I'm hoping that we're going to be working together more. We've kind of talked about some changes that might happen. And so we'll keep everybody tuned in, I think, as we kind of go forward. But I really am seeing working with you more as we go forward, customer experience and support for donors who are special, who need special donations.
Yes, absolutely.
And helping to coordinate that stuff. So you continue to grow and you continue to explore new things as we go forward. So that's awesome.
Yes, always willing to learn new things.
It's great in terms of working at UC, and we're all of our folks are UC employees. So can you talk a little bit about some of the cool benefits that you get as a UC employee?
I think the biggest benefit that most individuals like to have when they come here is the tuition remission. Yeah. So a lot of families will take part in that, and they will either sign themselves up for courses through UC or sign up their family members or their children, if the children are going into college, that they can get tuition remission assistance so that they can take those classes. So that's the biggest benefit that most people, I think, really enjoy.
I think a lot of folks take advantage of the tuition remission. I know I did. So both my kids are currently Bearcats. One is going to graduate this year. And then I actually was able to go and continue my education and get a master's in healthcare administration. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And so, and I know a lot of our employees actually have their spouses can benefit from that too. So my wife was actually taking some courses as well. So just something to keep in mind for folks if they're interested. And you're an example of somebody who's really kind of moved up through our system and matured with us.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for your time with us. I always ask everybody if you had anything to say to somebody who was thinking about donating for the first time. They're on the fence. They've never donated blood. What would you say to them?
I would tell them to come on in and let us take care of them. It can be a very scary experience just not knowing what to expect. But we're going to take care of you 100% from the time that you walk in the door to the time that you leave us. We want to make sure that your experience is good. But you never know who may end up needing that product. You may know somebody that needs that. And it's the only way that we can provide that product to individuals in the hospitals. There's no other substitute for blood. And the only way that we can get it is by getting individuals in the door to come in and donate their time and their blood product.
Yeah, you have to give today so the blood is there tomorrow, and you can't wait until there's a tragedy like a shooting or some horrible accident that happens to come and donate, because it takes time for that to go from your arm and from your body and to be processed to be ready to go to transfuse for somebody else. So right. Give today. You don't know who's going to need it. And the blood, you know, almost all of it is used here. And I know that all the hospitals here will use blood only from us. And so your family members and friends and community are all benefiting from neighbors who are helping neighbors.
Absolutely.
Here. Lori, it's been really fun talking to you and getting to know a little bit more about you as you go. How many kids do you have?
I have three.
Okay, awesome. Shout out, quick three. Shout out.
I have three. I have two that are getting ready to have birthdays in April.
Oh my
so
gosh.
I have one that will be turning 10, my daughter Jade. And then I have my son will be turning 2, and he's Caden. And then I have our crazy middle child. She is 3, and her name is Aria.
Wow. Fabulous. I love that name.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, Lori, it's just been such a pleasure talking to you. So
thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Great. You've been listening to In the Know with Dr. O.